Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you, with your host, Corey Smith. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and Apco Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with EasyCare. Please welcome my guest today, Don Andres, owner and president of Auto SCT Consulting and Training, and he's written a book. Don, before we get into this episode, I want you to tell me and all of us a little bit about you, how you got in the business, what you're doing now with this Auto SCT Consulting and Training, and tell us a little bit about this book.
Great. Well, listen, thanks again for the invitation, Corey. I loved it where we met at a training seminar that you were doing. I was impressed, and so now to be here on the show, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. I really, really do.
Oh, you're welcome.
So I got started all the way back in 1979 in a small dealership down in Detroit, Dean Sellers Ford, and was an advisor all through the 80s. Never a technician. Started to manage my first shop in 1990, also in the Detroit market. Had a little bit of a reputation of being a guy that could clean up stores. So I had a couple of stores I managed through the 90s. And then in 2000, I got asked to come to Columbus, Ohio, and run fixed operations for number one Reichert Automotive Group. At that time, the largest Ford dealer in the United States. I think the largest single point dealer in the world. They had 56 acres, literally 5,000 vehicles on the ground, selling about 1,800 Fords a month, another 300 imports, another 600 used. It was exciting, but I won't lie to you. I was a little overwhelmed in the beginning. But I met a gentleman that was a consultant, and he'd been doing that all the way back from the late 60s. And so he really introduced me to another way to approach the business. And so when he was retiring, he says, you know, you're one of the few people I would consider selling my company to. I'd rather have it just go away than to put it in wrong hands. And so I ended up leaving Reichert and bought this existing consulting company, and it was great until the crash of 2009. Everything kind of dried up, went back to work. Got an opportunity to be with a couple different groups. The Hendrick organization down in Charlotte ran their largest Lexus store at that time, the only Lexus store in Charlotte, and that was exciting. And then up here in Columbus, fixed operations for the Germain Group at one point. I've ended kind of the dealership world with a general manager position, a Buick GMC store that had been struggling for net profit for a number of years, got an opportunity to come in as a GM and got that spun up. And it's now here. I'm back to relaunching my consulting company and feeling very excited about this last stage of my career, being my own guy again and helping others. So
that's great. Tell us a little bit about this book.
So it really is amazing as you know, interact with thousands of service advisors and service managers, sometimes managing, sometimes just crossing paths with them. There seems to be this true, consistent thing that happens in a service drive, and that is if it gets busy at all, it gets a little hectic, a little stressful, and a little chaotic for the writers, right? And so these kind of pushes that naturally happen in a service drive cause a couple things. One, they can cause a service advisor to go fast. And when that happens, we all of a sudden almost immediately lose this level of engagement. Now, why is that important? Engagement, of course, is the trust building that needs to happen with a customer for those additional needed parts and service sales, right? If they just are changing the oil, there isn't much profit in the service department. If they're just fixing a check engine light, there isn't necessarily a lot of profit built into that because you're doing that heavy diagnosing. No, the real money is in these needed additional services, and customers tend to decline when there is this lack of engagement. I'm just not sure who you are. I'll just say no. So the book gets written with nothing more than, hey, a lot of this stress, a lot of this chaos that happens in the service drive really is us is really this lack of preparation, this lack of understanding what we're really trying to get accomplished. Starts with management. So the book really leads into this idea of the managers themselves creating a lot of this chaos, and then, of course, not addressing that. Now, when that happens, and the book really gets into all the rippling effect of chaos and stress in a service drive, and what would that be? Well, it would be things like turnover, right? If a service advisor is turning over, suddenly technicians start to get concerned, and now we have technicians. Maybe they're not closing deals, and so suddenly there isn't the money that they expected, and so now there's tech turnover. So this rippling effect that the book talks about is all based on this idea of not being prepared. So we hit that hard. Yeah.
What's the name of the book?
So the name of the book is Why Auto Service Departments Fail to Grow, The Real Reasons Why, and the Simple and Yet Consistent Techniques to Create Good Net Profits and Growth. So it's actually reads Why Auto Service Departments Fail to Grow, The Real Reasons Why, and the Simple Techniques for Consistent Growth. It's on Amazon. That. Yeah, got released on Amazon about 3 weeks ago, and I'm pretty excited about it.
As you should be. Congratulations. I can barely write a sentence, right? We talked about it earlier, but here you are writing a book, right? That's awesome. Well, I'm super excited to have you on this podcast and this episode. I believe this is right in your wheelhouse. The title of this episode is Empathetic Engagement, Retaining Advisors and Technicians in Today's Dealership, right? Mm. So now if we really take that topic and really flip it on its head, Don, in your experience, what are the primary factors driving technicians to leave one dealership for another?
Boy, it's a really important question today. It's the one top of mind, right? The costs associated with a technician leaving and trying to replace them with now an even more expensive one is a real challenge. So flat rate technician, he may be looking to increase his flat rate amount because the market is in his opinion, bearing that. There can be issues sometimes with dispatching, right? The old fairness of dispatching is a reason a technician might consider leaving. But the real reason, I think, more than anything else, is a lack of consistent non-diagnostic repair work and needed services work, right? That work that doesn't require them to spend 2 hours or 3 hours diagnosing. They can do it almost blindfolded, whether it's brakes, whether it's a water pump, whether it's a serpentine belt. These are operations that they've done it so many times, they're prolific at it. And because of that, it pads their paycheck and they can become 120, 130% productive. When technicians are struggling with not having enough of that work, and now they're relying strictly on their ability to diagnose and repair what the customer brought it in for, now it's tough to get to 100%. And in fact, many cases we see a 70, 80%. So here they are, they're working 45, 50 hours in a work week and taking home a paycheck of 35, 40 flat rate hours. So in my travels, that's probably the biggest reason that a technician would pick up a phone and take a call from a competitive dealer, I believe.
So it's not solely about pay. It's these other influences that you're talking about within the structure and the under the service department, you know, technicians bays, if you will, that are happening that is causing this ripple effect within the dealership.
I think you're right because of this lack of consistent ability to have good quality work. And where does that come from? Well, that can come from stress and chaos in the drive, right? So if you have an advisor creating some unrealistic promise times because they discovered suddenly with a customer that they need the car back by 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock for a soccer practice or something of that nature. Suddenly the rider commits to this unrealistic promise time. So now, if you can imagine, a dispatcher or the writer themselves are going into the shop and saying, hey, I need you to kind of stop what you're doing and see if you can bang out this recall or get this thing knocked out real fast. And of course, the technician is already deep in his diagnosing of whatever concern. So now he's being interrupted. So he ends up doing that. And the end result is he goes back now and has to sit down and figure out where he left off in this diagnosing. Meanwhile, that other rider, who the vehicle he was working on, has walked up now and said, hey, you almost done with that? Well, no, I got interrupted. I just finished. I'm just now getting back and diagnosed. And he goes, you're going to have to go fast. I have already promised that customer that this is going to go by 2 o'clock. Okay, fine. I'll go fast. So in both cases, the rush and the push sacrifices a quality multi-point inspection, a quality upsell opportunity. Why? Because of the stress and chaos that happens, that, you know, this is a daily event. So if there's not a light at the end of the tunnel, what I'm seeing with technicians is that they go home having a tough day. And the wife says, how'd it go today? She says, I don't want to talk about it.
Right. Grab me a beer.
And so she wants a happy husband. So she says, you know, you should find someplace else and things of that nature. Right. A happy home is important. So it's a rippling effect that goes well beyond something as innocent as, hey, I just need you to do the next job. There has to be a light at the end of the tunnel, that there's growth opportunities for him and his family, or her if she's a technician as well.
So in your mind, what's one thing that can solve some of these issues? Now, there's not one answer that will solve every single one of these answers for the technician defecting and going to another dealership. But what's one thing that you've seen that can work within the dealership where they maybe we're not losing the technician over that issue?
I think that we certainly need to get more yeses. And, you know, today's technology with a electronic multi-point inspections, we get to track all of those closing percentages, don't we? We get to see the quality of the right of the multi-point inspection. We get to see how many cautions and fails that were presented and what was that closing percentage. And that's important. These are things the customer actually needs. So the technician took the time to actually go through and get all of that done, put the notes in there. And then ultimately what happens is that the customer says yes to two items and no to three other items. And the writer just moves on. When, in all honesty, the follow-up of those declined services is a huge impact to pad the paychecks of the writers. But we all know that the main reason that customers declined, and it's been this way for 40 years, is not money, not time. Those are factors that play in, but it's usually trust. I'm just not sure, so I'm just going to say no. And so these declined additional needed services is really the emphasis of the book and the money being left on the table every day in a service department as far as opportunity to retain technicians and really to retain a net profit.
All right. I like that. That's really good. Now, can you elaborate on the impact of losing a veteran service advisor on a dealership service operation and the overall customer satisfaction that goes with it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great question. So we need the technicians turning hours, right? Everything happens when we turn an hour of production, but we need a quality writer that a customer recognizes. That veteran writer, which, you know, if you remember, wasn't that many years ago that you would have your vehicle in three, sometimes four times a year because we're changing oil every 3 months or 4,000 miles. And suddenly now with full synthetic oil, we're seeing the customer maybe once a year. That doesn't mean that customer doesn't appreciate that familiar face and that relationship that has happened over the last X amount of years. So when you lose a veteran writer, not only are you losing that level of engagement and that comfort and that trust that he can make a recommendation, she can make a recommendation, and the customer goes, yeah, absolutely, let's get it done, and we're closing those deals. But it's worse because the replacement that, of course, there's that whole period where there may be shorthanded, and it even gets more hectic and chaotic in a service drive when you lose somebody. But even when that replacement comes in, it's a starting over with customers and engagement. And because of that, we're not closing many deals. So now technicians end up with this frustration, right? So all that looks bad on a service manager. It looks bad sometimes even on a general manager and their leadership as well. How did you let this veteran service advisor go, right? So it isn't, it's not something to just simply think everything's fine. You have to be checking in with that service advisor staff. You have to be recognizing when there is stress and chaos in the service drive and what caused it and what can we do to stop it.
Yeah, and I think if any service managers are listening to this, and I hope you're not doing this currently at your dealership, but stop sitting in your office 24/7. I get that you have things to do. You have payroll, you have meetings, you have budgets, all those things. You're going to meet with vendors. I get all that. But if you can be in the drive, on the desk, and know the pulse of what's going on in your service drive, you will have happier team members, happier employees, if you want to call them that, right? I can't stress that enough, right? Yeah. So you mentioned the lack of processes as we're talking through this and during write-ups and MPI reviews. What are some effective strategies or processes that service managers can implement to improve these areas in your mind?
Yeah, so I think there's no question that the appointment is turns out to be the most valuable thing. I loved our story where we met at this training that I sat through with you, and you brought up in the training this idea that I was a writer that was struggling, and then I discovered this idea of valuing the appointment and valuing this idea of getting prepared for the customer. So it turns out information is pretty powerful, and it's available in a quality appointment process. So whether you're using a BDC, whether the writers are doing themselves, or you even have an online appointment system, you've got to take that information, truly understand what's going on with that vehicle. Is it just simply maintenance? Is there a problem with it? And then, and this is the most important, what's going on in a customer's life that allows you to not be surprised? So you have to value the appointment. You have to have some processes in place to do a quality pre-work order. I always recommend that a service advisor owns those appointments. So if they delegate 10 or 12 of these appointments or 15 of these appointments out to the advisor staff, then they, the day before, start to truly look and understand what's coming in and then start to put together a quality write-up process. This puts them in a position to speak confidently. They've checked history with a customer. They know what's been done in a vehicle, what still needs to be done, and they're speaking with confidence. That's a huge part of it. On the multi-point inspection side of it, it's amazing. I'll go into a dealership, especially one that is struggling with sales per RO, hours per RO, those types of things, which is typically a reason that GM has invited me in, or an owner. And I'll start to look at that and the amount of one line and two line repair orders on a 110,000 mile vehicle, and it's all green on the multi-point inspection is amazing. No cautions at all, really, at 112. There's not some items that are starting to show wear. and yet it happens on a constant basis. So a service manager has to have a couple things every day that is regimented into his world. One, he needs to look at the day before service advisors. Are they prepared? Have they got their pre-work orders ready to go before the day is over? And then two, they need to look at the multi-point inspections. How many cautions and fails really happened as opposed to just the closing percentage, right? So we find that, we find that technicians like to do certain things and don't like to do others, right? Some guy doesn't like to do suspension or is not really comfortable with that. And so they're not cautioning some of these components that have excessive wear.
I love this because you're without you knowing, you're speaking my language, right? Preparation equals control, right? Advisors, if you're listening to this, or managers, if you're listening to this, and your advisors aren't doing what he's saying, right? Take the 30, 40 minutes to go over X amount of ROs that they're responsible for. Look at the history. Tell the customer when they come in the next day and say, hey, Don, before I left for work yesterday, I took 20 minutes to go over the history of your vehicle, and I found that you haven't done these required services. Is that something you'd like to take care of while you're here? And just like you said, you're speaking with confidence. You're prepared for that person. Can you imagine if you go in to have a surgery and the doctor is not prepared to do your surgery? Like, he hasn't done any prep work the day before to work on you, right? I mean, you'd be like, I'm not going. I'm out, right?
It's scary, right? Yeah. And we actually put the writers into this world. And I really go back to the service manager itself. I go back even to the general managers. You know, when they walk out in the morning, they should be looking at that drive and they should see a really consistent process that's happening because there's such a high level of preparation. But the minute a writer gets surprised, and it could be as innocent as I need the car back by this time. Really? I don't know if we'll, I mean, we're pretty backed up. Well, I need something or I need this. And anytime they're surprised and a customer, that it unfortunately is going to happen often. They're going to tell you everything going on in their life. And so when that happens, almost immediately it creates stress. And then they make these commitments that are unrealistic. And now the rippling effect into the whole shop starts this hectic day.
All right, well, let's dive into this stress, right? How can service advisors better manage stress and chaos that often comes up with a busy service drive, especially when juggling customer vehicle concerns and their personal stories, right? I used to tell advisors when I was a service manager, I feel like all of our customers meet at the local coffee shop and they wait until 10 o'clock and they all drive to the dealership. And now I've gone from tumbleweeds in my drive to 30, 40 cars, right? So how can the advisors really manage that stress and that chaos within that busy service drive day by day?
Well, that's a great question. In fact, we really got exposed to this when we went to online appointments. Such a great idea, right? To relieve the phone calls that are coming into the service drive is to go ahead and actually have the customer just pick the time and date. Well, people tend to think last minute when it comes to getting maintenance done. Oh my gosh, I'm leaving on Friday for my trip. It's Wednesday, and they pull up and the next available time slot is 11 o'clock, but they got to be at work at 9 o'clock in the morning. So what do? They click on that 11 o'clock thing. And then what time do they show up? Well, they show up at 8:30 because they got to get to work. So the writer says, hi, I've got you scheduled today. Oh, yeah. And they go, oh, I see you're at 11 o'clock. Yeah, I'm a little early. They're oblivious to it, right? But now the writer is going, holy cow, where's my real 8:30? Somewhere in that line. So he doesn't necessarily like the customer at this moment. He's not really connecting with him or her. And so the end result is they do what? They go fast. All right, let me just type through. Let me get this thing done and we'll get you on your way. And now they go to the customer and they greet the real 8:30. And the customer says, why did I make an appointment if I just have to wait anyways? I got to get to work. No problem. Let me go really fast. And, you know, now the reverse happens. The customer doesn't necessarily like the service advisor. They haven't really connected. In both cases, it was all because something as innocent as somebody doing clicking on that. So what we typically would say with any online appointment is we're going to always call them. And if you've divvied up your service advisor appointments now and you said, hey, I need you to follow up with these, I'm going to call them the day before and go, hi, my name's Don. I'll be the one taking care of you tomorrow. I just want to make sure that time works for you. Well, no, it really doesn't. I got to be at work at 9. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I do have an 8:30. But if you want to come in at 8:20, I could actually get you written up and get you on your way and still have my time for my 8:30 appointment. Wow, you'll do that for me? Yeah. So suddenly a simple, innocent phone call that says, I just want to make sure that time works for you, created an actual engagement, and they've already started to like you and they haven't even met you. Same with the problem vehicles, right? I mean, they got a noise in the front end. Well, you know as well as I do that the most unproductive repair in a service bay is a noise, chasing a noise, right? So the quality of write-up becomes everything. So I'm going to call that customer the day before. I see that you're coming in. My name's Don. I'll be the one taking care of you. If you don't mind, I'd like to talk about this noise for just a few moments. And probably the best question to ask is, what's the best way to duplicate the noise? Well, I don't know. I've never heard it. My wife is the one that's always complained about it, but I've actually never heard it. Oh, okay. Well, between now and when you bring it in, if you want to talk to your wife about the best way that noise seems to be duplicated, that'll help us a lot. We'll be able to recreate it and get that taken care of. So this idea of understanding and preparing and having a real conversation, that customer comes in the morning and go, okay, well, here's the situation. Every time I back out of the driveway and turn left, it does it every time. Great.
I love that.
Really good information. It's really good information. You know
what I mean? What you're giving. Yeah, what you're giving us, Don, is like radio gold, right? I love this, right? So we've talked about BDCs in this podcast. I've had Sean Armour on a number of different times, and he's a BDC expert. With the rise of BDCs and online appointment systems, how can advisors ensure they are still effectively engaging with customers and gathering all the necessary information before the service appointment?
Yeah. Yeah. This day before preparation, and you alluded to it when you were all the way back when you were writing, that changed the income for you and your family. It's so powerful because when you're engaging, and by the way, these customers, even though they made an online appointment, are perfectly fine taking that phone call if, in fact, you're taking the right approach. Hey, I'm Don. I just want to make sure tomorrow is a perfect visit. And so if you don't mind, I'm just going to confirm a couple of things and let you know what's going to happen tomorrow. If you manage service departments at all, and I think for any managers listening, he's going to tell you this. If there's ever a crisis that happens and there you are talking to a customer and you're working through what might have been said or done with a service advisor, invariably at the end of the conversation, the customer almost always says, well, if you'd have just told me this, I could have made arrangements. If you'd have just told me it was going to take an extra day, I could have figured that out. But now I thought it was going to be done. And now I'm disappointed. So telling a customer, here's what's going to happen tomorrow, is an incredibly powerful statement. One that the customer appreciates. They get it. They're entering your world, but allows you to stay in control and move through the day's productions because you got them up to speed. Would that be a good way to say it?
Yeah.
So now I'm having this calm, highly productive day. I've got my 12, 15 appointments. Heck, you could even have 20 appointments if they're prepared at this level. And yet everything, I know exactly what's going to happen. I know they want a shuttle drive. I know where they're going on their shuttle drive. And I know what time they want to get picked back up. Why? Because I thought it was important to ask that the day before. It's exciting.
I love that. I love that. So Don, unfortunately, all good things have to come to an end and we're right up against the time. So before we really end this episode, I want you to give our audience your three takeaways from this episode in your mind that a service advisor, service manager, an agent, someone outside of the dealership, someone within the dealership that's part of leadership, like a GM or an owner, can really take away from this episode.
Sure. Well, let's start with management itself. I will say you have to recognize stress and chaos. You just have to recognize, which means, and you said it earlier, they've got to watch that, certainly that morning push, that morning drive. And the general manager's got to be able to walk out and recognize when it's hectic and stressful and chaotic. And then they've got to be able to immediately say, what could we have done differently this morning to not create that? You know, that's probably as good of a starting place is just to watch the drive, recognize the reality of it is, and know that you're in charge of getting that figured out. I think as far as advisors are concerned, they have to recognize this idea of every time they go fast and they skip any kind of real engagement, their odds of getting a decline dramatically increase. Oh, and it's not good. Their fault. They're nice people, but you know, they just won't close as many deals because you've heard, a young gal say, you know, I need to check with my dad. I need to check with my husband. I need to check with my boyfriend that I don't have. Just a means of saying, I'm just not sure. So I'm just going to say no. Right. And then the last thing, probably the most important, is this: quality employees will only stay in that chaotic and stressful environment so long. When they don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, they don't see people working to try to get these things resolved. They'll quietly one day just turn in their notice and you go, wow, what happened? I thought you liked it here. No, I've been talking to you. You haven't been listening. And they leave. So retention at the end of the day is truly the secret sauce of any growing service department. And so being conscious of that, being conscious of listening to your quality employees and recognize things have to get structured and processes have to be held to, will reward you with great net profits.
Oh, you just dropped some bombs. I wish I had some sound effects. That was awesome. Right. Don, thank you. How can people get in touch with you?
Great. I think probably the easiest, there's book information and everything else on my website. So it's autosctconsulting.com, autosctconsulting.com. And love to hear from you. I will take a phone call and talk to anybody, whether it's service manager, general manager, owner. I'll always take that phone call. If we're going to spend an hour on the phone talking about some of the areas that you might be struggling with, that's what I do. I love to help. And so that's the easiest way to get a hold of me.
Awesome. I appreciate it. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Don, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being a guest on this episode. And I'll end, like I do with every guest, with this last question. Will you please come back?
Oh, love to, love to. Just very impressed with who you are and what you do for EasyCare. So thank you for the invitation. Love to come back.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.